This is on Vega. If you were in my movie, we've got someone who can answer that question because she's just completed a movie, an Antioch College graduate and filmmaker as part of the Women's Film Project. Getting ready for a couple of screenings of her latest called Living in the Story, Patrick Nagatani, photographic innovator, storyteller, artist, and a movie about still pictures. It's a delight to welcome Ms. Lynn Esteman. Hi, Lynn. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the air.
You bet. So, first of all, you're an Antioch College graduate. Tell us when you attended college here and how it was that you were drawn to filmmaking.
Well, I attended Antioch from 1968 to 72, and I actually worked in the newsroom at WISO for those 4 years.
You did?
So, yes. WYSO.
No kidding. So you
was
multimedia.
I do a lot of different media. At Antioch, I was a film and communications major. I worked with Bob Devine, and it was, I actually made up the first communication major. I moved to Cincinnati with after graduating and worked in video, and I've been doing a lot of different things, but they all involve media since then.
And when you say made up the major, it's something that's pretty unique and wonderful about Antioch College, that you can find something that you're interested in and sort of tailor your own experiences. Am I describing that properly?
Yes. There wasn't really a communication major at that time, and one of the things that I really wanted to do was video as well as 16-millimeter film, primarily because film is such an expensive media to work in, and video was beginning to come onto the scene at that time, and it was something that was much more affordable. And so I wanted to work in both of those, and the film major was specific to film, and so I created a major that involved working with other media, photography, and video.
So you really kicked open the barn doors and made a new avenue for students to follow. That's wonderful. We're on the phone with Lynn Esteman, and you can find out more information about this media maker and Antioch College graduate at her website, lynnesteman.com. That's LynnEsteman, Esteman,
E-S-T-O-M-I-N. Actually, it's Estomin.
Oh, dang. Well, thank you. All right. Switch them. Estomin. Estomin, lynnesteman.com. Or you can find out about her recent offering, the screening here in the Miami Valley, at Patrick Nagatani Living in the Story.com. Again, it'll be screening next Thursday. That's October 25th in downtown Dayton at the Neon. Screening will be next Thursday at 7:30. And the following day at 3, that'll be on Friday, October 26th, is a reception in the Herndon Gallery. And then the reception will proceed to the Arts and Science Building, room 219 at 4, for a screening of this movie. Again, it is called Living in the Story. Lynn, I watched the trailer for the movie, and it's something that he says. Did you have the name of the movie before he said that, Living in the Story?
Well, Living in the Story came from something that Patrick said in one of the interviews, and it really struck me that that was, in a lot of the ways, the essence of his work. I mean, he's a photographer, he's an activist, he's an artist, but to me, above all, Patrick Nagatani was a storyteller. And he really lived inside those stories when he was creating them. So that's where the title came from.
Yeah, I love that he in the end named this collection of images. But so interesting when you think about it that here you, as a filmmaker, have made a moving picture about still pictures.
Well, I met Patrick Nagatani probably over 20 years ago at the Society for Photographic Education, which is a conference for photography professors and media professors. And Patrick taught for many years at the University of New Mexico. But he was a really exceptional artist, activist, and storyteller. And he was really a mentor for me because he was so enthusiastic about life, photography. He was innovative in his approach to creating work. He combined storytelling, history, politics, identity, community, multiple mediums into seamless images that really influence the way I approach making political work, because I learned a lot from his humble approach, his humor, his mixing of fact and fiction to involve people in the ideas that he was concerned about and passionate about.
His pictures really are remarkable, each one very, very thought-provoking. It's more than just sort of seeing something and recognize it simply as one thing. This is beautiful. This is sad. This is engaging. There's so many levels to what he provides. I invite our listeners to watch the trailer. You can do that at the movie website, which is Patrick Nagatani, spelled like you'd probably think, Nagatani, Patrick Nagatani, livinginthestory.com. We'll put a link up to that on WISO's Facebook page as well. And you can get a sense of some of the kind of imagery that he creates. Among the more soul-touching are the images that he created around nuclear weaponry. Would you like to talk a little bit about how he uses still images to really touch our souls?
Well, three of his major projects have to do with nuclear war in one way or another. His parents and his grandparents were interned at the Santa Fe prison camp. His grandfather, his father's family was at the Jerome intern camp, and his mother's family was at Manzanar. He is Japanese American, and that history had a lot to do with the kind of work that he made. So in the first series that deals with it, the collaborations, he's working with large Polaroid images. And the Polaroid Corporation had, I believe, six cameras that look like a giant land camera. And they produce a 20 by 24 Polaroid print that you have to pull the back off of the way you would on a little one.
Wow.
And so what he would do is set up these whole tableaus with a painted backdrop. This set was a collaboration with Andre Tracy, who was a painter who painted the backdrop. And then he would set up all of this stuff in front of it. You know, there were things hanging from fishing line, from the ceiling. There were, cardboard stand-ups of people that were large black and white mural prints that were hand-colored and mounted on foam core and standing up in front of the backdrop. And then he usually did a sort of Hitchcock number where he would jump into the frame and be the only live person among all these cardboard stand-ups. But the effect is really amazing.
Oh, yes.
They're just these larger than life things with so much going on that you really have to look at them for a while to see all the amazing details. The next series was one called Nuclear Enchantment, which dealt with moving when he moved from LA to New Mexico and was in, you know, the seat of the atomic energy and military complex. And so he's dealing with a lot of those issues and particularly the effects of fallout and uranium mining on Native Americans. And there's a detail in one of those images where you see this Native American family sitting around playing Scrabble. And they're all sitting on the floor and there's some nuclear thing going off on the television. But if you look carefully at it, the entire Scrabble board spells out words that have something to do with nuclear issues.
Wow.
I mean, that's the kind of detail that he put into these images. He was also a master model maker. At one time, he worked in Hollywood and, in fact, worked on the mothership for Close Encounters of Third Kind. And so a lot, his work often looks like it's Photoshopped, but most of it was pre-Photoshop, and it's done with models, and it's done with backdrops, and it's done with setting up a tableau and then photographing it. The third series that deals with nuclear issues is kind of a departure from his other work, because most of his work plays around with making you question, can photography really verify truth? But in the camp series, he's documenting what's left of the 10 Japanese internment camps. And it was part of a movement that he and his brothers and a lot of other Sansei third generation Japanese Americans were involved in to get markers erected at these various sites.
Interesting that there aren't. Was that successful? Did they get the markers up?
Yes.
Yeah.
There are markers now on them.
We're speaking with Lynn Estomin. That's E-S-T-O-M-I-N. You can find her lynnestomin.com. Again, that's lynnestomin.com. Her new movie featuring the work of the photographer of whom we've been speaking, Patrick Nagatani. Is Patrick Nagatani Living in the Story.com. You can see a trailer there. It's screening next Thursday, that's October 25th, at the Neon Movie Theater in downtown Dayton. That screening next Thursday is at 7:30 p.m. The following day, she'll be in town for a reception at 3 here on the Antioch College campus. That's Friday, October 26th at 3 p.m. in the Herndon Gallery, and then a screening immediately following at 4 in the Arts and Science Building, 219, room 219. I love that in the late 70s, he was a part of something called the contemporary constructed photographic movement. Constructed photographic movement. It's not Ansel Adams here, but he pioneered this new way of using a camera.
Yes, it was constructing a tableau, constructing a set. You know, he very much worked sort of like a director, figuring out where everything should be and building a set that created this kind of milieu for people to get into and live in his story.
Like a one-shot movie. It's remarkable. And so when did it come to you that you realized that you would use your own skills, which I think this is kind of wonderful. So you as a filmmaker made a movie about a photographer. We're talking about it on the radio. I'm urging people to go online and look at the trailer at Patrick Nagatani, livinginthestory.com. We have so many multiples of media going on right now. It's almost head spinning. But when was it that you knew that you would lend your media talents to his work?
Well, I sort of got into the project in a roundabout way. His gallery, the Andy Smith Gallery in Santa Fe, had conducted a series of interviews with Patrick over a four-year period. Patrick had terminal cancer and was getting sicker, and the director of the gallery, Andy Smith, thought, well, you know, it would be nice to have a record of Patrick talking about his own work for future academic researchers. And so they did a series of video interviews, most of them at the Albuquerque Museum. Patrick lived in Albuquerque. And the idea initially was just to have this research material. But Patrick is so dynamic that Andy realized that there was a potential here to make a more popular film that would reach a broader audience. And so he and Patrick asked me to come in and make a film. At that point, Patrick was really too sick to work the way that he had always worked in the studio with these huge sets, and really was sick enough that he did not want to be on camera at that point.
Oh.
So the interviews are the interviews that were done for this legacy project for the Andrew Smith Gallery, with some audio interviews thrown in. I did a lot of research to find footage of him actually working in this studio and building models, because in a perfect world, that's where I would have interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
But since that wasn't possible, I was able to find the Albuquerque PBS affiliate had done some interviews in his studio. I got some really kind of grainy VHS footage from Polaroid, which showed him working with the Polaroid camera. And I had access to 40 years of his artwork. And so it became this challenge of how was I going to make this really innovative, dynamic man come through with very little footage of him actually in action. And so, you know, I worked with his images. I decided early on to dump all of the interviewers that, even though they had very interesting commentary on the importance of his work to the art world, I wanted Patrick to tell his story.
So it is in his own voice.
Yeah. Mm. The only voice in the film is Patrick. And that's augmented with, you know, footage and his artwork.
We're on the phone with Antioch College class of 1972 filmmaker Lynn Estuman. And you can find out more about her work at LYNNESTOMIN.com, LynnEstuman.com. Again, we'll put a link up on our web page as well. And a couple of screenings right here in our Miami Valley of this work called Living in the Story. Patrick Nagatani, photographic innovator, storyteller, artist, is next Thursday. That'll be October 25th, next Thursday at 7:30 at the Neon Movie Theater. And then the following day, Lynn will be in Yellow Springs on the Antioch College campus for a reception at 3, and that's Friday, October 26th in the Herndon Gallery here on campus, followed immediately by a screening of this film at 4 in the Arts and Science Building. That's room 219. And Lynn, thank you for bringing this artist through time to my senses. And thank you for taking some moments with us on the phone this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much for publicizing the event. And if I can throw in one thing.
Yes.
The reception in the gallery is in conjunction with the show there now, which is Nuclear Fallout. So people will have a chance to see that show and then go to the film.
Wonderful. Pretty much couldn't ask for more. An evening of sort of mind-blowing still imagery and an afternoon of you can see the current exhibit in the Herndon and then watch the screening of this film again next Thursday at the Neon. That's October 25th at 7:30, and then a reception in the Herndon the following day, October 26th, here in Yellow Springs, at the Herndon at 3, and then at the Arts and Silence Building at 4. Lynn, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.